Hare Krishna. So we have a few questions here to be answered. We have a box full of them. It's all right. So I'll request the first question. I'll ask Chandramouli Maharaj to answer the first question.
There are millions of universes, but is there only one earth planet where Krishna comes and becomes asleep? If yes, then may we say this earth is actually changed for us, since from here we can eventually go back home, back to God. They're asking whether there's only one earth planet, and if it is this the only opportunity or the only place we can go back to God?
Okay, I'll read the question again, because I didn't hear properly, didn't pay my attention properly. The question is, there are millions of universes, but is there only one earth planet where Krishna comes and performs his leela? If yes, then may we say this earth is actually change for us? I think it should be chance for us, since from here we can eventually go back home. May I ask whose question it is? Don't feel. Okay. Yes. Okay. Good. Yasoda Priya. So there are innumerable universes. And each universe has 14 planetary systems. 7 higher planets, 7 lower planets. Each universe has the same structure. And in this, out of this 14 planetary systems, there is the middle planet, the 7th one from top is the Bhuloka, the earth planet. That every universe has an earth planet. And in every universe, in that earth planet, there is a Mathura Mandal. And there is Vrindavan. And Krishna comes in a day of Brahma, once. Performs his pastimes in the earth planet. Right? In each universe. And Prabhupada actually said, that Krishna's pastimes are continuously going on. Like in some earth planet, in some universe, Krishna is just born. In some earth planet, Krishna is just now killing Putana. In some earth planet, Krishna is, like all the pastimes are going on continuously in different planets, in different universes. But the point is, in the universe, in the earth planet, there is a Vrindavan where Krishna performs his pastimes. In the 7th Manvantar of Vaivarshata Manu, and then in the 28th Chaturyuga, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna performs his pastimes. And then after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and performs his pastimes. And gives one an opportunity to enter into Krishna's Vrajaloka. Is it clear? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So Maharaj, next is here.
This is begin by saying thank you for the wonderful instructive classes. We all feel very enlightened with this beautiful association. Can you please give some tips on how to maintain this enthusiasm for cruise number 2? we thank, of course, Dr. Tarun Maharaj and his very creative way of bringing devotees together. and a combination of very festivities and nice sadhu sangha, wonderful kirtans, wonderful harinams. It was really an amazing experience. And because we also have technology nowadays, you'll get some of a copy of everything, but that's not the way to retain it in the real sense, is to remember what we've learned here. If you could actually take at least one fundamental principle of something about what you had heard in terms of your chanting, your importance of developing proper Vaishnava association, anything, and you actually apply that, you can consider this was a grand spiritual success. Another way to somehow or other bring that continual mood of sadhu sangha, Krishna consciousness, is to tell your friends about it. Tell your family members about it. Repeat it. When we repeat what we've experienced, we also remember it more. There's a saying that this was actually a statistic that was done in America, where it says that generally, statistics are always a general thing, that people remember 10% of what they read, 20% of what they hear, so a little bit higher, 30% of what they see, this is general, 50% of what you hear and see together. When visual is combined with audio, the retention is higher. 70% of what you do, and here's the point, 90% of what we teach. So by speaking, because our philosophy is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. As Shravanam develops, Kirtanam becomes more manifest and one wants to speak. That's the benefit of hearing more and more and more. We actually want to repeat what we hear. And then, as we repeat, we remember. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is really situated on Smarana, to remember Krishna 24 hours a day. So here's a way to take this wonderful experience back with us, is to speak about it, to speak about the classes, to speak about the experiences. And then we can relive it and also remember it, and at the same time, that will help us to imbibe some of the principles that we have been exposed here to. Thank you. Whose question was that? Did I answer it?
Next time, request Jaduwar Prabhu to answer the question. I'll get Maharaj after that.
To develop a good preaching mood and how to overcome pride. As far as developing a preaching mood, I think to the degree that we have suffered in this material world, we can have that degree of compassion towards others. Actually, Śrīla Prabhupāda said that the first qualification of coming to spiritual life is being materially exhausted. Yamuna Devi mentioned that to Śrīla Prabhupāda, that she was materially fed up when she came down out of the mountains after reading Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. She came to Prabhupāda's apartment in San Francisco and said that. She's materially exhausted. And Śrīla Prabhupāda said that is the first qualification. So you know, this material world is a bona fide miserable place. Krishna talks about how miserable it is in Bhagavad Gita. We have our own experience. We see the experience of others. So we should just try to understand how really nobody's happy in this material world. There's so much propaganda that happiness is going on here. But actually no one is really happy. Real happiness means all cessation of misery. If we've actually experienced spiritual happiness, and I think all of us have, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes spiritual experiences very beautifully in his Kalyana Kalpa Charu. It's a series of songs along with Gitavali and Sharanagati. And every summer we would sing in Sharanagati, we would sing that series of songs. So he describes that these spiritual times of spiritual enlightenment are like the thunder and lightning. We see the lightning strike and the whole ground becomes illuminated. And he describes that as the mercy coming from bhakti yoga. So, again, we should pray for these moments. And certainly pride gets in the way of that. And if we think we have any ability at all, then we're in a bad state. Because Krishna says that I am the ability in everyone. So we're simply little tiny spiritual sparks encased in these bodies, encased in the mind, the false ego, and simply providing energy to the body. So many verses in Bhagavad Gita state how we're not how we're controlled, how we're not independent. Our independence lies in choosing Maya or Krishna. If we choose the material energy, then we have to suffer. If we choose the spiritual energy, then we're totally happy. So as far as overcoming pride, that's very difficult. We can understand philosophically how that happens, but we should really take shelter of prayer. That's my realization in my older years. That actually every day we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O energy of the Lord, O Lord, please engage me in your service. So that is a prayer, at least 2 hours a day we are praying. So this is really the basis of our practice, is prayer, if we think about it. So on our own, we have no ability to do anything. Again, we're tiny sparks being tossed in the ocean of material life. So we should take shelter of prayer to get rid of all the enemies, including pride. And then when we do that, when we actually are clear of some of these, or even semi-clear of some of these enemies, then we can actually have compassion on others and preach and follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada.
Next, I request Isovin Sachinanda Maharaj to pick a question and answer.
Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada emphasized cow protection, especially in the context of ISKCON farms. On the other hand, the society regularly something conventional milk while Srila Prabhupada was present. And he did not seem to indicate that stopping this practice was a top priority. How important is it that we, both as individuals and as an international society, make this shift to Ahimsa milk products? Hare Krishna. This is a very good question which I have struggled with for many, many years. Let me give the background of this question. When you buy conventional milk on the market, your purchase causes slaughter of the cow. How? The cows, after they have calved, are separated from their calves. The calves, if not used, if not useful, are sent to the slaughterhouse. The cow then is quickly milked and exploited like anything with these heavy machines, and it's fed often with fish and meat products, and then when it stops giving milk, it is slaughtered as well. It's a very demoniac machinery which is behind the milk industry. Male calves, the small bulls, are mostly slaughtered for the meat industry. The cows are again forcefully impregnated, and then to keep on giving milk, it's a huge thing. Now, what do we do? Do we keep our hand in this machinery? Do we by taking milk and drinking milk? This is the question. If we are connected with this machinery, we help the machinery to run on. So many conscious people, because of this understanding, have become vegans. They don't accept milk products because they know that they are part of an incredible amount of violence. And many devotees have also become vegans because of this. Now, you could take this stance, or you could take another stance. The other stance is, okay, the milk slaughter industry will go on with or without you. You are, by taking the milk products and giving the milk, offering the milk, and then consuming it in Krishna consciousness, you know, to keep my body strong for service. This is most probably the only benefit which could happen to these poor, poor cows. You could take the vegan stance, or you could take this stance. I have personally gone from one stance to the other. At the moment, I'm with the milk. I'm taking milk because, the doctors have said, for the intestinal tracts, you require yogurt. But I minimize the milk taking and only take it for the necessary products, and I pray that the cows will benefit by supporting devotional service in this way. This is my answer to this. But it is a troublesome idea. And the usual ISKCON argument, we would take the milk to please Krishna, is not true. I mean, most of the devotees are not on this level. They eat ice cream not to please Krishna, milk ice cream. They have cakes not to please Krishna. They want to please themselves if they are honest. So it is a difficult subject. I have given you my answer, which differs a little bit from the conventional ISKCON Swami answer. But my conscience tells me that this is the best way to deal with this. Hare Krishna.
Now I request Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj to request.
More and more devotees and people in general are aware of the extreme evil destructive forces on top of the banking world. They are aware we need a drastic change towards self-sufficient Vedic Krishna village life. Srila Prabhupada's dream to escape their cruel grip. How to prepare the entire community on this solid transformation? Amrit Krishna Das question. Well, my answer to this is it's very idealistic to go back to village lifestyle. But I see though the preach of village lifestyle is very good, very good. They always stay in city only. And there they preach, do seminar, this, that, but they never stay in village. So, I am from village. When I was in village, I feeling very boring, I was thinking to come to city. Now I am traveling all of the big cities, I feel, I should go to village. But when I go to village, or any city, people go to village, village is so nice, so peaceful, everything nice. After a few days, no Coca-Cola, no Sprite, they feel very much separation, they come back. So, ideally, we should have village life, very nicely streamlined lifestyle. Just I used to say, village lifestyle, Vedic lifestyle, is very nicely streamlined. How you will have happy, peaceful, blissful life, and you go back to Godhead. And then health, your peace, everything is very nicely. Life structure, for example, I used to give, village ladies, they work hard. You must have seen village ready for grinding, they use grinder, work like this. Now city lady, you don't use the grinder, you push the button, the grinding done. Then when you become old, you get a hand problem. Then you go to doctor, pay £100 fee, and doctor will say, now every day you do like this. I see in Mayapur, I stand in second floor, I see all the villagers. Every day, up to this much water they stand, they work in water. They never get a sickness, no fever. I go to the temple where the socks, rainy season, immediately start sneezing. And they think, oh, the sea Maharaj is so happy, nicely staying. I am suffering from sneezing. And they are staying very happily. But village life is best. But the point is, our situation is whether village or city life, the college is progressing. We have to stick wherever you are to practice our Krishna consciousness. I can't preach all UK people to go to Indian village and start your life there. Wherever you are, you have to start our Krishna conscious life.
Hare Krishna, now it's my turn. Let's try to give the answers short and to the point, so that there are quite a few questions, so that, and we don't really have much time. I'll just try to be brief. The summary Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching doesn't explicitly touch on Sankirtan or chanting, yet we know this is an essential part of Lord's message. Kindly explain this. Good question. Whose question is this one? Okay, very good. So, you see, what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving in that one is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, like, the purpose of, or the essence of Mahaprabhu's teaching. The teachings, he's not talking about the process. He's talking about the teaching. This is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is God, the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna, the Son, not just, there are three Krishnas. Krishna of Vrindavan, Krishna of Mathura, Krishna of Dwarka. And he's specifically pointing out Krishna of Vrindavan. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out. And the way to do it is the way the gopis of Vrindavan worshipped him. That is, of all the mellows, the conjugal mellow is the highest. And in that mood, when Krishna is served, that is the highest kind of worship. So he is actually indicating ragatmika bhakti. Right? The bhakti of Vrindavan is ragatmika bhakti. And when one serves Krishna following the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, that is called raganuga bhakti. So he is indicating that Raganuga Bhakti is the way to achieve Krishna. And what is the best, what do we get out of that is prema, Krishna prema. But when it comes to the process, how to accomplish that, then we have to go to Srimad Bhagavata. Jaggari Sankirtana Praye Jagyanti Hismetasa. Thank you. The next is Chandramouli Maharaj.
If I so sincerely want to preach. Well, Prabhupada said preacher means reader. Read, 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 and read. And then as you absorb that more and more, then you have something to speak about. Hearing is reading. Reading is reading. Just keep hearing more and more. But the principle of preaching is part of the, what we say, the program of ISKCON. Prabhupada established this as a preaching movement. I think it was Bhakti Sruva Maharaj was explaining the other day in class how we have to come to that stage. Just for me, that's 50%. And 100% means I take care of my sadhana and at the same time, I think how to bring that same understanding, information, philosophy, inspiration to others. It is a preaching movement. It's established that way by Srila Prabhupada, as we can see that, it's quite obvious.
So, some of the equipment you need to preach means to read more, and more, and also associate with those who are also doing that. That gives you inspiration. And Lord Chaitanya said, wherever you meet, by my command, be guru, save the land, tell them about Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Just one last thing. Today we met some persons, we had some Hare Krishna mantra cards. We just said, oh, here's a nice card. They said, oh, thank you very much. What does it mean? Someone will tell you the meaning. That's preaching. Hare Krishna.
Next is Jadubhattu.
We understand a steady and steady chanting, we'll skip that word, reveals Krishna's form. Is this form a deity form, a mentally conceived form, or the actual form of the Lord in Vrindavan? I would say, I'm not really qualified to answer this so much, but I would say that it depends on, that's up to Krishna. And it can vary from individual to individual. Hare Krishna.
Sachinanda Maharaj.
Oh yeah, there's a question with your name on it.
You want to answer that?
Yes.
Radhe Radhe, it says, prior to the cruise, I spent 6 weeks in the Holy Dharma. I had the most incredible experience and was showered with a blast of mercy day after day. Now, I am feeling extreme separation from Vrindavan. This is the most incredible pain that I have ever felt. So deep, so strong, so intense. And I cry every day just longing to reside there once again. First question. How do I know if this pain is just my ego crying out of desire, or if the pain comes from my spirit soul longing for Krishna's abode? You know what is crying, your ego or your soul, by one criteria which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur answers. When your spirit soul cries, you always want to give service to Krishna. When your ego cries, it always wants to enjoy out of its own accord. So you have to see, are you just crying because you don't like Great Britain, because you have to work here, and in Vrindavan you eat Mahaprasadam from Radha Raman, or are you crying because now you can't give, you feel you can't give the same amount of inspired devotional service as you could at the Dham? Second, what can I do to ease the pain of separation from the Holy Dharma? Srila Prabhupada writes, and Jiva Goswami writes, and Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur writes, if we can't reside physically in the Holy Dharma, we can do so mentally. That is, you can have pictures of the Holy Dharma. When you chant, you can do a practice where you feel or where you see yourself in Vrindavan Dham at the bank of the Yamuna or at the foothill of Giriraj, and you can chant from there. Mental residence in the Holy Dham is good. Third question, should I move to the holy Dham? Only if you have some service there, consider to move. And I would say, first stay for a little longer, see how everything is going. If you are welcome there by Krishna, then if you can stay after some time a little bit longer doing service, then see if again if you are welcome there. The holy Dham is resided over by Srimati Radharani. You need to have her permission. Hare Krishna.
My most favorite lordships are Jagannath, Subhadra and Baladev in Siddha Mayapur. On a recent visit to Mayapur, I obtained a set of Jagannath, Subhadra and Baladev chota deities. I am wondering if I can paint them to look just like my favorite lordships, or should I leave their expressions as they are? Who is writing this? You want to paint it like Jagannath, not like Ganesh or Kali, like that. Like Jagannath. Yeah, because Jagannath appearance has the specific reasons. Just like his eye is round, because he never closes his eyes, continuously gives his mercy, just round. And the red mark has to be there all around. They say, we have little mercy, we have little red spot here. When people compassion, a tears comes from there. And Jagannath absolutely compassion, merciful. All around his eyes, red color is there. So is color of deity also significant? Why Jagannath, the Lord of the universe? Because the Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Sudarshan, they represent like Jagannath. It's the four color people in this world. Jagannath represents all black color people. Baladev represents all white color people. Subhadra represents all yellow color Mongolians like that. Sudarshan all red color people. So that specific form has a lot of significance. Why his hand, leg, like no leg. So if that form you can repaint is okay, but don't paint like some other forms like that.
I picked up that I couldn't read the handwriting, so I just said it to everyone. One of the lessons we learn from Krishna's pastimes of bringing the cows home is that we should have 100% eagerness to be with Krishna. Is there an intermediate goal, such as eagerness to do a particular service, for those of us lacking the requisite love? Whose question was this? Oh, again. How many questions did you put there? Okay, it's all right. One of the lessons we learn from Krishna's pastimes of bringing the cows home is that we should have 100% eagerness to be with Krishna. Now, how did you draw that conclusion? That bringing the cows back with 100% eagerness to serve Krishna?
Just my understanding of Satchinanda Swami. My understanding of Satchinanda Swami's class, that was one of his points.
That's just one example he gave. It's not that only the cows, bringing the cows should generate 100% eagerness. Every pastimes of Krishna should actually generate this 100%. Not only just bringing the cows back. And as you're asking, is there any intermediate way? The thing is that there is no consideration of intermediate. Intermediate goal. The goal is fixed for us. Vrindavan. Pure devotional service. But until we reach that point, we'll go through different stages. Like Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti, devotion mixed with material desire. devotional service mixed with desire for liberation. But transcending these, Karma Mishra and Jnana Mishra Bhakti, comes the platform of pure devotional service. Right? The goal is pure devotional service. But according to the state of our consciousness, or according to the degree of our material attachment, there may be different levels, but there is no intermediate goal as such. There is no compromise as an intermediate, not even Vaikuntha, right? As we are discussing about Brihad Bhagavatam. The goal is Vrindavan. We are not going to compromise until we reach that goal. We won't be even satisfied going to Dwarka. Our goal is set. That is Vrindavan. Chandramouli Maharaj?
I get the essence of this question. I'll just read generally what's the point. Is after 35 years of devotional service, practicing sadhani bhakti, there's no love in my heart. What can I do to progress and correct it? And I know the person who wrote this, he's also signed his name, but I won't mention, unless he wants me to. And I can answer this question by a little story. And the story is given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He calls it the wedding party, where there was a grand wedding. And in the evening, they wanted to cross the river, so to go to the next shore on the next morning. So after the wedding party, they all got into the boat. And then they started to row. They had their Romans, and they were rowing all night. And the next morning they woke up and they were in the same place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, the anchor was still down. And what is that anchor? Material desires. Krishna, devotional service is working on trying to pull away our material desires, but if we still say, no, Krishna, please, you can take this one away, but not that one. That's my favorite one. At least not right now. So we have this tendency to somehow bargain with Krishna in our devotional service, and we have certain things that we're still attached to. Family, society, and love. To be attached to our family members in a devotional way is spiritual. But for any material reason, whatever the material reason may be, will cause our consciousness to become, what we say, contaminated by material sentiment or material affection. And that keeps us locked into the wrong consciousness. So, we find that Krishna is trying, through his devotees, represented, to take away our material desires, but if he sees after so many years of trying, and we're still holding on, we actually start to lose the opportunity to give up these things. So we have to think, what can we do? Take more association of senior devotees, hear and chant the holy name with great attention and devotion. And pray to Krishna within our heart, please help me give up these attachments. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
How can the different anarthas be removed from the heart, like false ego, pride, envy, greed, etc.? Is special extra endeavor needed other than following the nine processes of devotional service? So again, I'm glad the question is not worded, how can we remove these things? Because we were speaking earlier about how helpless we are in this material world. Again, we can't do much, but we can try to change our desire. There's one nice painting in the Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, in the early Gita. There was a spiritual world on the top and the material world on the bottom, and there was a line between the two, and on the line was the word desire. So according to our desire, we can go up or we can go down. So it's essential to change our desire. And that takes one of the qualities of devotional services as given by Rupa Goswami and one of the requirements necessary to develop our devotional service is patience. We have to be very patient with ourselves. We can't expect things to happen immediately. That's one of the lessons that I've learned in my old days, that we have to have a lot of patience in devotional service. So, and as far as any extra endeavor beyond the nine processes, no. Actually, in our Shastra, there are examples of a person, devotee, following one of the processes and achieving perfection. So if we actually can follow one of them perfectly, then we can perfect our life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. How to go deeper in my chanting? My understanding is initial chanting is to cleanse the heart. Then we gradually become more purified and receive the Lord's mercy. We also need to pray deeply in order to advance in chanting. Please assist me if I am wrong. Know what you have said is good. I would like to give you one positive injunction and one negative. That means what to avoid. What to do is to pay attention to the chanting of the holy name. It says that from inattention all the obstacles arise. Now, how can you pay attention to the chanting of the holy name? Please listen now very carefully. See, when you chant, there is something very interesting happening, which is designed by our acharyas. On each beat, new beat, when you go from one old beat to the new beat, with the first hari of the mantra, you have again an opportunity, if you do it consciously, to totally focus your attention. Let me show you. I'm here with my invisible bead, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now something important happens. I have to go to the next beat. And in this step which you do, you focus, you bring your attention on the first Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I know you know the mantra, but please listen to me, this is more important at this point. You go to the first Hari and you bring your entire consciousness to this. This fingering beads is not an activity of spacing out. Like I know in some cultures you have beads, and when you are having a nervous tension, you go in with the beats. It's not like this. It's meant to focus you. And if you learn to do this consciously, going from one beat to the next, and then focusing on the sound vibration of the hari, yes, then you have brought your mind back to what you are doing, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And I want to give you now a little homework to do. When you chant here on the boat, it is sometimes difficult because we only have a few more hours on the boat together. But when you're in a home, please do this exercise. Whenever you change the beat, go to the next beat, make a conscious effort to concentrate. And when you do this for, let us say, half a round, you will see that your mantra is glued. to all the sounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is how you can practice full attention. The negative injunction is become familiar with the 10 offenses and avoid them wherever you are in your life, and you will see miraculous results going deeper chanting just by firsting, learning to pay attention as you finger your beads and you go to the next, to the next, to the next, and do that in a conscious way, concentrating on Hari, and the other is avoiding the offenses. This is what I can say here. If you are interested to learn really systematically how to improve your chanting, we have extracted from Prabhupada's books 5 powerful rules which we teach in a seminar, in a seminar called Japa Retreat, or the 5 rules, you know, which you have to observe, but it's too long to speak about this. These 2 things, experiment with them and you will see miracles in your life. Hare Krishna.
The GBC is the ultimate authority. If the leading GBC devotee intends, if the leading GBC devotee intends to dominate everyone and everything in his zone, are we then not back in the Jonal Acharya system? How should the system work properly? According to Srila Prabhupada, the Ramananda Raj Prabhu. Okay, I will tell 3 steps. First step is, Jonal Acharya system is not the same. GBC dominating, that is authorized by Prabhupada. GBC is supposed to manage. But Jonal Acharya, the Guru is managing. Guru, the society should not be managed by Guru. That is Prabhupada wanted, GBC manage the society. Then second is, GBC is not supposed to dominate. GBC, Prabhupada said, is like a watchdog. Business of GBC, make sure the spiritual standard maintained, accounts kept properly, 1 or 2 things more like that, not to dominate over everybody. Then how should the system work properly according to Prabhupada? On that, our strategic planning, the committee, they're working for last 3-4 years to work out parallel authority systems. So they're working still, they're working on it, how these things can be materialized. Hare Krishna.
In the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can have a relationship with Krishna in a passive state and an active state. Would you please elaborate? Whose question is this one? I hope I didn't scare everybody. It'll be nice if I get to see whose question it is, because I need some clarification in the question. The person is not present here. If no one is here to elaborate that, then I'll skip this question because I didn't understand this. Where in Bhagavad Gita at the beginning, Krishna is speaking about passive state and active state?
No, that's, it's not that step, the five rasas. Huh? You can... What's that? No, that's santurash. That is neutrality. That's not active or passive. Anyway, I'll skip that question. Okay, it's a short question, but quite nice question. Can one go back to Godhead if he is still in anartha nivritti stage? Whose question is this? Okay, yeah. So, anartha nivritti means cessation of material desires. Right? Anarthas are material desires. Undesirable things. What are the undesirable things? The material desires. So these material desires are manifest in the form of lust, greed, anger, etc. Or distinction, adoration and profit. Like getting the benefit on the material plane. Now, if one is already struggling to be free from all these material desires, is it possible for him to go back to Godhead? I'm just asking you. In order to go back to Godhead, we have to become totally free from all material desires. Like just as Maharaj pointed out, the anchor. If the anchor is stuck, can you move forward? So what we have to do first? We have to pull the anchor. And then only the boat will be able to move. So, the answer is no. When one is in the anartha nivritti stage, it is not possible for him to go back to Godhead. And not only in the anartha nivritti stage, like it is after anartha nivritti comes nishtha, steady. Steadiness in one's devotional service. Then comes ruchi, taste. Then comes ashakti, attachment. Then comes bhav, experience of transcendental emotions for Krishna. And then comes prem, love for Krishna. So the qualification to go back to Godhead is prem. Prabhupada has pointed out in relation to Bharat Maharaj, that he reached the stage of bhav, but even from the bhava stage, he fell down. Right? So, until and unless we reach the stage of praying, we won't be, that means unless and until we develop intense attachment for Krishna, as he pointed out, 100% attachment to Krishna, and that is necessary. But the point is, when we are practicing devotional service, even if we are lacking, then Prabhupada is assuring us that Krishna will compensate for our deficiency. If we are fixed up, if we are serious about our spiritual life, and if we are lacking, then Krishna will, for example, say at the time of death, that is actually the ultimate point, when we will be able to go back to Godhead perfectly. Otherwise, there is Swarup Siddhi. One is situated in his spiritual identity, but still he is in his body. But the Vastu Siddhi, the ultimate perfection comes when one is free from the bondage of the body. So, we may not be 100% pure at the time of death. But at that time, if we see Krishna, or if we see Krishna's representative, then what will happen? Whatever material attachments we may have, all those material attachments will disappear because of our perception of Krishna becoming attracted by his beauty and other aspects of his attraction.
So anyway, the point is, anartha nivritti is one of the preliminary stages that we have to cross. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yes. We did pretty good.
How to become humble without developing low self-esteem? Good question. You asked that?
Whose question is that?
How to become humble? Behind us.
Oh. Okay.
Good question. It's a question that's... How to become humble without developing low self-esteem? Low self-esteem is a term or a, what we say, a deficiency that comes when, through the activities of material nature, when you somehow or other try to do something and you fail, or be something and you fail, you have this tendency to start thinking yourself incompetent or unable or without proper whatever. We might look at ourselves in a very awkward position. And what happens in the material world, people go for psychological treatment and you pay somebody so much money and the person tells you you're great, and then you go out and you still have low self-esteem. Humility is actually a natural quality of our relationship with the Supreme. God is great and we are small. So on the spiritual platform, humility is actually a quality that connects us with Krishna. It's actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions the 20 items of knowledge, amanitvam, adambitvam. And the first one is humility. It's actually a principle of knowledge. We can use the life of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada did so many extraordinary spiritual accomplishments. But at the same time, he was humble. Because he knew, I'm not doing it. He was depending completely on the mercy of God in every situation. So, humility really means to place yourself in a dependent situation. And depend on the Lord, depend on the Lord's mercy in every situation. This low self-esteem comes by our experience in the material world in our attempts to somehow or other be successful or accomplished in one way or the other. But cultivate the quality of humility by practicing the principles that govern humility. Even if you don't feel humble, you should act that way. Because it's natural to be humble. It's unnatural to have pride. Pride is a covering over the soul's natural relationship with the Supreme. So we can practice humility, but humility really means, as I remember, Radhanath Maharaj made a nice statement. He said, if you compare yourself with anybody in this world, you're either greater than some and lesser than some. But always compare yourself with the Supreme, and you'll see how small you actually are. So, we are called jiva. Jiva means tiny or small. So, humility is natural in order to connect ourselves with the Lord. And that is the first quality in the practice of devotional service. So, low self-esteem is simply a bhavi concept of life. Humility is actually cultivated in relationship to our service to the Lord.
Was actually meant for Malati Prabhu. Question is, you glorified Yamuna Prabhu so nicely in ladies' group talk. She kindly shared all her recipes by her book to the world. But nowadays, devotees don't give or share recipes with others. Isn't this mean or being miserly? And how will others learn to cook nicely for the Lord's pleasure? So one, a couple of points is that actually Yamuna This was an incredible cookbook that she did. If you can actually follow one or two recipes in that nicely, you'll be certainly pleased in the Lord. So there are hundreds of recipes there. We have no dearth of nice recipes. So if someone doesn't share the recipe, don't complain, because we have so many. Another thing is the consciousness is also very, very crucial. We can prepare the nicest of recipes, but our consciousness may be the other way. So, two things. We have the recipes. We have plenty of them, and let's see about our consciousness before we tend to criticize others. Hare Krishna.
Sometimes when I chant, I try to remember the pastimes of Krishna when I close my eyes. As though pastimes is happening. How can I always maintain this? Is this possible? Because it's so very blissful. Sometimes when I chant, I try to remember the pastimes of Krishna when I close my eyes. And though pastimes is happening, how can I always maintain this? Is it possible? Because it's very blissful. One thing is, there is a difference between imagining pastimes, that is creating them or speculating. That is not so good because it has not much to do with Krishna, but only with our own imagination. However, when you read about Krishna's pastimes or hear about Krishna's pastimes, they, what you have read and what you have heard, will be stored somewhere in your citta. And as you chant, these impressions, that which is stored, will come out naturally and play like a film, you know. So therefore, please read enough about Krishna, and you will see when you chant, you will remember Krishna. When you only have material impressions, when you chant, these material impressions will come out, and you will see a business film or a sense gratification movie or whatever material activity you have been with you. So it's very necessary, if you want to remember Krishna, you have to read about Krishna. And then when you remember Krishna's pastimes or blissfully see them as you close your eyes, as you have heard them, that's very good. That is desired. Of our sadhana, our spiritual practice, there are two rules. The first rule is to always remember Krishna, and the second rule is to never forget Him. So as you chant, and if something comes kind of natural without a forced thing, that is very welcome. The forced things are not so welcome, because the forced is of speculation. Good.
Can one worship Radha Krishna deity at home if there is no one to worship them after their death? So, you see, we should be careful in worshipping deity form. I have heard better to house, if you don't have good provision for worshipping, worship the pictures. Otherwise, they say in Bengal, the deity means big, out of enthusiasm, you get deity. Enthusiasm is known as agraha. From agraha, you get vigraha, deity. Then it becomes galagraha, means it becomes a burden on you. That is how it happens. So very enthusiasm, oh, I get the deity. Then you get the vigraha, then it becomes galagraha, burden on you. So better we worship the picture form. Then also I have heard, if you want to worship deity form, you worship Jagannath Baladev Subhadra deity, they are very merciful, or Gaur Nitai deity, they are very merciful. And with Radha Krishna deity worship, we have to be more careful with that, more strict. And if you worship Gopal Murthy, more careful. Gopal is very sensitive. You have to feed him timely, very take very nice care. So Gaur Nitai, then Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, then Radha Krishna, top is Gopal. And finally, if I really attached to worship Radha Krishna deity, then my Guru Maharaj has told, then offer a simple worship process. Because deity, if you make them habituated in elaborate way of worshipping, then you go down. That is not good. So don't make them habituated to have a very elaborate process. Make a minimum standard and keep deity like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we came to the last question. And what is the best way to deal with negative feelings that arise in the heart against devotional service or some aspects of Krishna consciousness? Yeah. So the negative feelings towards Krishna consciousness are actually the material desires. It is due to our material desires that we don't get the taste of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave the example of jaundice. When you have jaundice, then sweet tastes bitter. That's the diseased condition. So our condition in this material nature is like that, being in a diseased condition, and that's why what actually is joyful appears to be a burden or an undesirable activity. So the best way to overcome that is the practicing sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is the way to overcome our material attachments and develop spiritual attachments. And of this sadhana bhakti, the most important consideration again is association of advanced devotees, association of good devotees. Then association of devotees also can be of two types. One is associating with them physically and associating with them through the instructions. Now, if the physical association is available, then that is very good. But if that is not available, we can resort to listening to them through their instruction, like reading books and listening to tapes. So these are the simple practices that we have to adopt, we have to get into, in order to overcome these negative feelings towards devotional service. And eventually, when we practice, we will eventually come to a stage of getting the taste. So this taste is the most important thing. But once we get the taste, then, yes, we keep moving forward. But just like, until and unless we overcome the disease, we will not get the taste of the healthy condition. So the soul's healthy condition is freedom from material attachments. Material attachments is the desire to gratify our senses and derive pleasure out of that. So we have to overcome that bad tendency. And we have to realize that actually what we are hankering for is not going to be achieved by gratifying our senses. That will be achieved only by rendering devotional service. So that's why sadhana bhakti is so important. And of sadhana bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smadhanam, or ado shraddha, then comes sadhu sangha. Thank you all very much. There is another brief question which I did not answer before. The question is actually, when will the next retreat be? Please organize one soon. Okay, let us see how soon we can organize.
But you know what Prabhupada's policy was? Prabhupada's policy was double it. So this one we had 230, that will be enough? Okay, so the next one has to be at least 450. So which means not only that you have to come, but you have to bring someone else along with you. And that's a simple way of doubling it. And I'm sure Devesh is feeling happy about it. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today, Sadbhuj, Gauranga Prabhu and Manorama, Manorama Latika? Oh, Manohari Gauri. So, they requested me to sing some Bengali bhajan. So, we got some printout. So, Kamlesh Krishna, give out the printouts to the devotees. We have only 50 printouts, so I think we have to share it. And we'll have this.
Just hand out the things to different devotees. This
song is, this Bengali bhajan is by Srila Basudev Ghosh. Basudev Ghosh was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a great composer, a great musician, and so he is singing. I'll just read out, I'll just say the Bengali and give the translation. He's saying, Gora Guna Gaho Shuni. Do you know who is Gora? Gora is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please sing the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and let me listen. Bohu Punna Fale Shopohu Milalo Premo Parusho Mani. Due to heaps of pious activities, I have got this Lord of my heart, who is the touchstone of love of Krishna. By his contact, by his touch, one receives Krishna prema. Akhilo jiber eshoko shagor noyono nimeshe shoshe. Just by his glance, he dries out the ocean of suffering of the conditioned living entities, of all the living entities. Oi premo lesh porosho na pele porano jurabi kishe. If I do not get the touch of that love of Krishna, then how will my heart ever be content? Oruno noyone boruno aloy Korunai Nirikhane. His eyes that has the color of Arun, that is the red that appears before the rising of the sun, and that eyes, those eyes are actually the reservoir of Borun, the god of the controller of water. Because constantly water is coming out of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes. Korunai Nirikhane, very mercifully he is glancing at the living entity. And Modhuro Alape, as he speaks with every single word, akhare akhare, Shudhadhara Bodhishwane, he is showering incessant nectar. Premed holo dholo, pulake puralo, Apado mastako tolo. His entire body from his head to toe is stiff with love for Krishna.
And Vasudeva kahe shatodhara vahe Sumeru Sinchito Jana. And Vasudev Ghosh is saying as if the Sumeru mountain, the golden mountain, is being inundated with hundreds of streams of Ganges. So, you can say after me, Gora Guno Gao Shuni, Bohu Punna Fale, Shopohu Milalo, Premo Porosho Mani. অখিল জীবের এশোক সাগর নয়ন নিমেষে শোষে ওই প্রেমলেশ পরশ না পেলে পরাণ জুড়াবে কিসে প্রেমে ঢল ঢল পুলকে পুরল আপাদ মস্তক তনু বাসুদেব কহে শতধারা বহে সুমেরু সিঞ্চিত জনু. I think I left the middle one. বরুণ নয়নে বরুণ আলয় করুণায় নিরীক্ষণে মধুর আলাপে আখরে আখরে সুধাধারা বলি শুনি. So should you sing it now? Gora guno gao shuni,
Gora guno gao shuni,
Gora guno gao shuni,
Gora guno gao shuni,
Gora guno gao.
Oh,
Radha.